This morning, I come to tell you, wherever you are, whatever you think you are, you can come back. You can turn around. You can begin again. You can return. You don't give up. Mama is looking at you like, my child, you are still as pure as the way I make you. So don't go hang out like, I can't go home. Even the prodigal child came home. You can return. Why? Because the spiritual traditions of the world have been telling humanity for thousands of years, don't forget who you are. You are not your mistakes and all of that. You are not the bad choices you make. Never forget who you are. Remember who you are. Now, I want to share with you that there are four stages of return that will help you. Because it's always good to say, oh, we did this, but what's the solution? There has to be. When we eat something and we feel constipated, don't they say there's Pepto-Bismol or something? Some solution there. Or what's the other one you have to take?
Miralax.
So they just don't say, oh, constipated, yeah. Oh, well, go take Miralax. So there are four stages, and I believe that in our journey back to, from wilderness to wholeness, four stages back to wholeness. And I want you to remember them. The first is clean up. You know, when you go out and you go hiking or you are pulling some weeds or whatever, even you go smoking for those who smoke, or you get yourself in, so maybe you are at the beach, you roll in the sand and all of that. You're not going to just go in and stay on your bed. Yeah, you got to clean up. So you clean up. That's one. The second, you grow up. The third, you wake up. And the fourth, then you show up. So can you say that with me? Clean up, grow up,
wake up,
show up.
Show up.
Now let's talk about that. The first step, clean up. Sometimes before we can go forward, we have to clean up what we've left behind, isn't it? You can imagine. If you step on a poop and there's a water hose or something, well, before you can go about your, won't you clean up? Won't you wipe your feet? All of that. We have to look at our lives honestly. We have to ask ourselves, what am I doing that is hurting me? What am I doing that is hurting other people? What habits have I developed that are taking me away from my peace of mind? What am I feeding that I should be starving? Because sometimes we need to starve bad habits, don't we? And sometimes we have to say, enough is enough. Enough of anger. Enough of resentment, enough of blaming, enough of pretending. You know, I sometimes we run into people, they say, how are you doing? You know, I'm good. But of course, you know you are not, because something is rising within you. Enough of pretending. Enough living a double life. Some might say, I don't live a double life. Seriously? You say, I'm the child, the ultimate child of God. but you don't act like it. We live in fear, we live in, you know, lack and all of that. Enough of that, living a double life. Enough carrying something that God never asked us to carry. We carry it and we think, oh, there's a TSA waiting. And they will say, oh, you can't go, can't pass this. No, you don't even need to carry it. I'm sure some of us right now, we are carrying something. We're so worried about what's going on in the world, isn't it? And the Lord said, child, did I tell you to carry that? Leave it alone. I created it. I know where it's going. I know what has happened. Cleaning up doesn't mean you hate yourself. It means you love yourself enough to change. It doesn't mean you condemn yourself. It means you take responsibility. And hear me carefully. Because anyone who doesn't want to take responsibility, we know they are not going to go on. You may not be responsible for everything that happened to you. Because to me, that is just ego thinking everything that happened, we did it to ourselves. Something just happens. It's part of the world. You can't help it. When you have temptations all around you, what can you do about that? That you didn't create that. That has nothing to do with you. That's not your responsibility. And that's why you pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Because it's there. Some will say the evil of poison. Oh, did you make the poison? Oh, no, it's there. So why should you blame yourself? You go hiking and then the thing happens. So you may not be responsible for everything that happened to you, but you are responsible for what you do next. And I think we've talked about that before. Action and reaction are equal and opposite. What you do next, you are responsible for that. How you respond to somebody who didn't say eye to eye with you, that's you are responsible for. What happened to you may not be your fault, but your healing is your responsibility. So clean up. Let go, forgive, apologize, change the habit, set the boundary. Walk away from what is destroying your peace of mind. And sometimes you have to clean up the outside. Before you can hear clearly what's happening on the inside, you have to clean up the outside. Remember, cleaning up is not about shame. It is about freedom. Freedom from unnecessary obsession, desires, anger, fear, whatever it is. Then we go to the next one. We got to grow up. I mean, some of us have said, Lord, why can't you make us just like the angel? We just obey you. We don't have any choice. Well, you can't change that. That's not the way God rules. So grow up. And growing up isn't about age. Some people grow older, but they don't grow wiser. Some people grow older, but they never learn to manage their emotions. We know some of them who are prominent. They can't manage their emotions. Every little thing, they might go ballistic, and they say, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done. Some people grow older, but they never learn to say, I was wrong. I am sorry. I don't know. Tell me what I don't see. That's growth. Growing up means becoming emotionally and spiritually mature. It means that when someone hurts you, you don't automatically become cruel. No, you don't become cruel just because somebody hurts you. When someone disagrees with you, you don't automatically become hateful. When someone criticizes you, you don't automatically become defensive. You learn to pause. I mean, some of these things that I'm saying, we know it. It's not that we haven't seen this in our life or we haven't heard it, but it's good to be reminded. You learn to breathe, not just pause. You learn to ask, what can I learn from this? Oh, I love that when that happens to me. That's maturity. Because Spirit wants us to mature. Because the immature heart says, I must be right. So because the immature heart says, I must be right. But the growing heart, all of us must have that. The growing heart says, I want to understand. The immature heart says, it's all your fault. The growing heart says, what is my part in this? The immature heart says, I will never change. The growing heart says, I can become better. Now that's growing up. And so we've all done it. Well, I can't speak for any of you, but I remember saying, well, Lord, if you didn't do this, this wouldn't have happened to me. And the Lord said, well, it's like blaming the banana peel, isn't it? It's there, but if you paid attention, you would have stepped over it, right? You would step on it, and then you turn into the sliding guru. Number three, wake up. Let us wake up to the reality that you are more than your history. These are things Spirit were telling me. And I'm glad because, this is what we call serious refresher course. We are more than our history. You are more than your mistakes. You are more than your wounds. You are more than what somebody said about you or what they didn't say about you. You are more than what somebody did to you. You are more than the worst thing you've ever done. Because there are things we've done that like, oh, I can't believe I did that. This is horrible. This is horrendous. There is something deeper, something sacred, something eternal. And when we wake up spiritually, we begin to see that we are connected. Who are you connected to? You should ask yourself that. I feel like Dr. Strange now. Who are you? What's the source of your power? Who are you connected to? We are connected to one another. No matter how you carry, no matter what you say, you and I and everyone else, we're connected. Connected to nature. Even the little ants that you can't stand that bite you, you are connected to it. You are connected to life. Because you got to live your life connected to the divine. Because the boundaries of the small ego begin to soften when you know, when we begin to realize and begin to understand. Understand that I am not my past. Remember, there was an invocation we would do years ago. I am not my past. I am not my present. I am not my future. I definitely am not my mistakes. I'm not what happened to me. There's something deeper within me, something sacred. I am an immortal soul. I am God's child. No matter where you go, you carry it. You can't shake that off. That's self-deception. If you think you stop being an immortal soul, God's child. Mm-mm. Because then you find out, I am not alone. I am part of something greater. If you are in the mother's soul, you are always part of something greater than. Not this little world that we talk, because this little world, everybody can put and go home. And different traditions use different words for this awakening. Buddhism speaks of awakening. Hinduism speaks of realizing the deeper self. Taoism speaks of returning to the Tao. Christianity speaks of being born again. Isn't that what they say? If you are being born again, will you be born to the same nastiness, the same little world? No, you are part of a bigger one. You are being born again. You realize who you are. From the higher heavens to the underworld to this world, you are the immortal child of God, bigger than any of them. Different words, different traditions, but perhaps the invitation is the same. Wake up and realize who you are. Wake up, madam, wake up. Sir, wake up. Little one, wake up. Wake up to what is real. Wake up to what is eternal within you. Wake up to the presence of God. Then when you wake up, what happens? Number four, you got to show up. You can't wake up and still remain. You got to show up because we want to see you. Because we're connected, then we all want to dine with you. We want to go hiking with you. We want to go to the ocean. We want to go party, whatever it is. Times Square, I don't know. We want to go to the concert. Because you and I can clean up, and you and I can grow up, and you and I can wake up. But eventually, you and I, we have to show up. There is no way, if or but about that, we have to show up. Because if you and I didn't show up where each of us met, we wouldn't even know we existed in the same planet, is it? But eventually, something pulls us and we show up. And here we are connected. Now we realize our connection. Because spirituality is not just what happens when you are sitting in meditation. Spirituality is what happens when somebody disappoints you. Now that's how we know the mark, whether you've grown up or not. When somebody makes you angry, when somebody disappoints you, spirituality is what happens when you have power over someone who cannot fight back. Then we see how you treat them. Spirituality is what happens when nobody is watching. Maybe to their face, oh, you are great, I love you, but behind, like, oh, I can stand your ass. You are such a, you know. Well, they might not hear you, others might. But somebody's watching. They are recording it. The e-library is much, very much awake. That's where your spiritual practice becomes real. You want to know if you are growing spiritually? Watch how you treat people. I'm tired of hearing, oh, this one is a baby Christian. This one is a baby. Okay, that's fine. We won't judge. If you're a baby, we treat you like a baby. But if you think you're a grown up, well, you got to show up. Then we know you are a grown up. Watch how you treat the person who cannot do anything for you. Because the world is, what do they call it? Yeah, it's transactional. It's you give, I take. There was a word I was going to use, just won't come. You see, now I'm putting the blame on, oh, maybe it's old age. No, eat your vitamins. Watch how you treat the person who cannot do anything for you. Watch how you treat the person who disagrees with you. Watch how you treat the person who has nothing to offer you. That's where the heart reveals itself. And we've seen it. People can't get anything then the way they treat it like. But eventually, what is inside must show up outside. Some of you have heard me say that. You can't give what you don't have. Eventually, it has to show up. If there's love inside, love will show up. If there's compassion inside, compassion will show up. You can't help yourself because it's the nature of who you are, that immortal child of God. If there's peace inside, peace will show up. So we clean up, we grow up, we wake up so that we can finally show up. And when you show up, now this will apply to you. To you and I. And who said this? Blessed are the pure in heart. And that brings me to the word of Jesus. The beatitudes, is that how you call it? I call it the beatitude. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you don't follow all those things we've talked about, then you find out, well. And that's in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 8. Think about that. Blessed are the pure in heart. Notice that Jesus didn't say, blessed are the perfect. You don't need to be perfect to be pure. Because only God is perfect. He said, Jesus said, blessed are the pure, because purity is not perfection. Even Jesus himself said, so, oh, you call me Rabbi perfect. He said, no, I'm not perfect. Only God is perfect. Purity is wholeness. Blessed are the pure. When you are pure, you are whole. There's no if or but. A pure heart is not a heart that has never made a mistake. That's not, Jesus didn't say that. If you are in this world, oh, you can count on you make mistakes. Even the holy ones, until they start riding that purity. Didn't Sri Yukteswar tell Yogananda's father, like, oh, he's a bad man. Yogananda said, Master, how can you say that? He said, well, I promise you I'll never do that again. Didn't Baba Lahiri Mahashaya, when the cat was going to eat and do this, he forgot he was in that wholeness. The cat called over and he had to carry that. Like, oh. God, purity is not perfection. It's not that you won't make a mistake. A pure heart is not a heart that has never been wounded. Imagine how much insult Jesus had to take. You read the story of the prophet. Did Moses run from Egypt because he said, oh, now that they know I killed, oh yeah, if Pharaoh catches me, that's it, I'm done. So a pure heart is not a heart that has never been wounded. A pure heart is not a heart that has never struggled. Didn't Elijah run that struggle? Even though fire came from heaven, he ran with his tail to go and hide. If you meet a saint or a prophet or a seer that has not struggled, then there's something. You might not know about their struggles, but every soul who comes into this world, even when God sent them, they have to struggle against the principality, against the wave of this world. That's just what it is. Instead of us complaining, God, what have you done for me lately? And God said, you are breathing. Well, but I want more. Don't worry. If you know you are my child, I'll give you what I have planned for you. A pure heart is a heart that is becoming whole. A heart that is becoming undivided. A heart that is becoming honest. A heart that is becoming transparent. When you begin to see your transparency, then you will even actually chuckle and laugh at all the things you've been claiming for your responsibility, which are not your responsibility. You chuckle about things you've done that, like, oh, I can't believe I did. Because now it no longer has power over you. A heart that is pure has nothing to hide, nothing to prove, nothing to manipulate. That's why you are transparent. You don't need to prove. There are people that, to use the material world, they are wealthy, but you will not, if you see them on the street, you won't know that. Because they don't need to prove it. And when the heart becomes clear, we begin to see clearly. We see ourselves differently now. Instead of condemning ourselves, we see ourselves differently, like, well, this is just part of how I need to roll. This is just part of this world. We see other people differently. We don't just judge them or be critical of what they are doing. And perhaps we begin to see God differently. That God doesn't have any mean bone. Of course, we know God is spirit, but let's use it in our material. God has no mean bone in our. And that's why. That's what we call David, King David, the psalmist, because it's from the book of Psalms. That's why he cried out, create in me a pure heart, O God. Or if we use our regular thing, create in me a clean heart, O gracious one, and put a new and right spirit within me. Some of us are familiar with that, Psalm 51, verse 10. Because David knew what he has done, and he knew there is no one who can change him except God. And he was so sorry after he read, because now he's becoming a clean heart. He said, oh my God. When that passion and all that confused him, that he made him take somebody else's husband and send him to be killed because he wanted the world. When it dawned on him what the horrendous thing he had, oh, he cried. That's where that comes. And he knew after that, you know, regret, deep regret, create in me a clean heart, O God. And put a new and right spirit within me. Those words are not just fluke like that. When you say, put a new and right spirit within me, you showed up. You are walking away from all the debris, all the maggots. He did not say, God, make me perfect, but make me clean, make me whole, make me undivided, help me to see clearly. So what do the traditions, different traditions teach? The Buddhist tradition tells us that the mind is foundational, is the foundation to our experience. And if that mind is clean, when the mind is clouded, our world becomes clouded. If I'm angry, I see everything through anger, isn't it? If I'm afraid, I see everything through fear. If I'm resentful, I interpret everything through resentment. So Buddhism teaches us, observe, be mindful. Don't immediately react. It doesn't say you shouldn't feel your anger. Feel anger. But you don't have to become anger itself. There's a difference. Because if you feel the anger of being falsely accused, but you don't become that anger and, you know, go ahead and, you know, turn the whole thing upside and accuse others and all of that, or behead somebody, then you look at them like, I know I didn't do this. You feel temptation, but you don't have to obey temptation. Isn't that why Satan said, well, you can't put that on me? As he said in the cross, no, let's get it right. I may whisper something. But you don't have to do it. You can put that on it. That's all on you. Feel temptation, but you don't have to obey temptation. You feel resentment, but you don't have to feed resentment. Because when somebody resents you, you will know, you will feel it. But you don't have to feed that in you. You actually pray. Didn't Jesus say, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do? Yeah. Say, Lord, please, clean your child up. Help that person to overcome that resentment. I don't know what I did, but help them. You don't because of that, like, oh, I can stand that. Oh, I'm going to, no. Let it be. Now I sound like the Beatles. Let it be. Let it be. So you can pause. You can breathe when things like that happen. You can choose. Because every time you choose differently, you weaken the old pattern. And every time you repeat the old pattern, you strengthen it. So don't wait. Turn around while you still can. Because that's the whole story about this, remember? And that reminds us that life adds layers. You know, when you come as a pure spirit, you were so pure. But then the surroundings started adding layers. Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. Society tells us who we should be. Our ego tells us who we should be. Our fears tells us who we should be. And eventually we become so busy trying to become someone that we forget who we are. So perhaps the spiritual journey is not always about adding something. Maybe sometimes it's about letting something go. Let go of the anger. Let go of the need to prove yourself. Let go of the false identity. Let go of the need to control everything. Let go and return. So let go and return. Return to simplicity. Because that's what our souls, when we're in that pure state. Return to truth. Return to God. Return to yourself. So how do we cultivate a pure heart? Because it's good to say that, but how do we cultivate a pure heart? First, examine your motives. What are your motives? Don't just ask, what am I doing? Ask, why am I doing it? Why am I saying this? Why am I angry? Why do I need to be right? Why do I need this person's approval? Is this love or is this ego? Is this service or is it self-interest? Pay attention. Then second, practice transparency. Remember we say, look, a heart that is not guilty fears no, you know, because everything is transparent there. Let who you are in private begin to look like who you are in public. Don't spend your life creating an image of what you want to be. Be who you are. Because creating an image is like a makeup. Eventually, at a point, I think people even wipe off the makeup, right? Yeah. Spend your life becoming the person you want people to believe you are. In other words, once you know yourself, then you nurture that. And then people will see that. Simplify your desires. Some of this we all know. It's nothing new. Ask yourself, what is cluttering my heart? Because spirit doesn't dwell where there is clutter. That's why when you say when you cleanse your house, you got to make sure no clutter. Otherwise, the rascals, they like to hang where clutters are. What is cluttering my heart? What am I attached to? What am I afraid to release? Number four, welcome correction. When somebody points out a blind spot, don't immediately fight to Bosa. No, don't immediately defend. Because some of us, we can get defensive and Spirit might be using a key to say something or somebody you can't stand. Listen. Welcome that correction. You might say, thank you. Maybe there's something here I need to learn. And finally, of all of them, remember this, we're talking about pure heart. Return to silence. God doesn't like a lot of yap. God's nature is stillness. Return to silence, because then you can learn something. Because silence reveals what noise conceals. Sometimes when we're talking to someone, we can't even hear our own mind. When you become still, you begin to see, you begin to hear, you begin to remember. That's why they encourage us meditation, isn't it? Because otherwise, we might as well just go to Times Square and start partying, right? Have DJ Khaled and whatever else playing. And perhaps, in that silence, in that stillness, you begin to recognize the presence of God in and around you. So this is my final invitation to each and every one of us. I want to leave you with this. Maybe you've made mistakes. Maybe you've made choices that took you away from your true self. Maybe you've developed habits that you are not proud of. Maybe you've carried wounds for years. Maybe you've been walking in the wrong direction for a long time. But hear me today, as Spirit speaks. You are not beyond return. You need to come home. If the prodigal son can do it, prodigal child, you can. You and I can turn around. We can begin again. We can become whole. We can return. But before I wrap it up, I want all of us to remember these four words. Clean up. Grow up. Wake up. Show up. And remember, purity is not perfection. Purity is wholeness. And when the heart becomes whole, the mind becomes clear. And when the mind becomes clear, we begin to see differently. We begin to love differently. We begin to live differently. And perhaps, that is one of my favorite words in English, and perhaps, we discover that God was never far away. Perhaps the divine presence was always here, with you, with myself. Perhaps the problem was never that God disappeared. Perhaps we simply forgot how to see. And so, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. May your heart become clear. May your mind become still. May your intentions become pure. May your life become an expression of love. And may you see what has always been here. Amen?
Amen. Amen.